say something about Dōbutsu Iki as a conclusion this morning instead of going further. English term as a gyōbutsu is difficult to understand for me, so I use Japanese term gyōbutsu. And igi is active, no, majestic activity is okay. Gyōbutsu is well, according to the some translator, active, it is completely different meaning from original. Dogen they want to say. In this case, the Yōbutsu really focuses upon the, entirely pure sense of human activity, so-called practice, or, well, not only human activities, entirely the pure sense of functioning of original nature, of existence, or anything. Tables, microphones, whatever it is. That is the point at which the term Dōbutsu teaches us. So that's Jō as activity is that which is completely thoroughly purified at the highest pitch. That is a real sense of entirely pure sense of human activities and absolutely purified at the highest pitch at that time. This activity is not something we can add, something, or we can take it. It's really pure sense. That's activity that adds an entirely pure sense of the function of existence is, well, maybe that which is unified in one with trees, birds, and the earth, and the whole sentient beings, anyway, unified. In other words, you completely open yourself freely, and that openness is not human activity you try to create. It's completely open, you know, openness beyond your the intention or emotion or intellect anyway. If circumstances is arranged and your body and mind are completely ripe, and then you can open it. It's exact beyond your intention or whatever it is. And that time you, that openness is not only your heart or your body is open. Now that openness is completely oneness with, very peaceful unification with trees, birds, and all sentient beings. That is openness, complete openness. That is really pure sense of human activity, very pure. When the human activity is completely, absolutely, thoroughly purified at the highest pitch, you completely become open. At that time, it is completely transparent. It's no colors, no smells, complete transparency, and also is very powerful, very powerful. And simultaneously, it takes something in the position of a form, in many ways, such as, physics, according to physics, maybe fusion, if you have things as a certain condition, so-called fusion, simultaneously fusion is not fusion, so fusion becomes fission, so, you know, like this. And so real fusion is unity, oneness of something with others, one with others, complete unification, perfect unification, that fusion, according to well, scientific term. And then that perfect fusion is doesn't stay with fusions, a form of fusions. So simultaneously it becomes fission, a very powerful. And mentally or psychologically, you can experience this. That is so-called joyfulness. You know, they're according to, three minds, and magnanimous mind, magnanimity, and kindfulness, kindness, and also joyfulness and magnanimity, generosity, that's huge, generosity, and kindness. This kindness is not merely the kind or friendly, but of course including kind and friendly. But that kindness is really deep kind of compassion, sort of compassion. And those are things you can mentally, psychologically, you can experience this. And also spiritually, it's a very huge, powerful experience. I don't know exactly the difference between, say, spiritual spirit and spiritual aspect of life or mental aspect of life, I don't know. But anyway, spiritually, you can experience, a very powerful, motivation. Or determinations, great determinations, coming from your heart. You know, it is not something given by somebody, so given by order or given by the regulation itself. It's coming up, very strong, powerful motivation or determinations. Physically, you can see sometimes light. Not many lights, sometimes many lights. but it's completely one single light, one single light. But that light is sort of, what would you say, just like a size of, just like a size of soya beans, very tiny. But it's very clear and very powerful in a way. So you can see this kind of light sometimes. But in this situation, where you live, it's very difficult to see such a perfect light, you know. But when the circumstances is completely quiet, perfect quiet, peaceful, and nothing else, just you sit down there, and completely you can open, you know, very naturally open, becoming one with the whole nature, you know, sunset and anywhere, night and darkness, and the complete one. Maybe simultaneously you can see the very light, tiny lights, you know, just like beans, soybeans, about the size of the soybeans. you know the Shobo Genzo and the Dogen Zenzo is one bright pearl, one bright pearl. Well, that is, it means a Bushō, Buddha nature, you know, Buddha nature. Buddha nature means a very pure sense of human activity, the human nature, the pure sense, entirely pure sense of function which human nature possesses inherently. That is called Buddha nature. When this Buddha nature appears in physically, well, maybe physically or through the six consciousnesses, maybe you can see the one bright pearl. Okay, one bright pearl. Well, I understand. And then Dogen Zenji explained in this chapter, one bright pearl, he explains about the Buddha nature and also religious motivations. Religious motivations. And religious practice, Buddhist practice. Giving an example, like example of you know, the Genshin Zen masters when he became a monk at that time. You know that story. He used to be a fisherman. And his father also fisherman. Both of them every day went to the went fishing. You know. One day, both of them went to the sea and for fishing. And then, by accident, the fathers, father fell into the oceans and. I don't know whether the father could swim or not, but anyway, father struggled, tried to come up. At that time, Geisha, the master, was there on the board. But in the story, he didn't save the father from the struggle. Immediately he returned, and immediately he left the father in the ocean, and then he went back, not to his house, to he went to the temple and became a monk. We don't understand this one. We don't understand why he did it. You know, he did it like this, so we don't understand. But this is really a spiritual motivation. Spiritual motivation. Something hit the bottom. Well, at that time, that is a very powerful one. Come up. Well, the nice of spiritual aspects. Spiritually, you can experience like this. But physically, you can see just like one black pearl, okay? Maybe through the six senses, maybe you can see that very bright, one bright pearl. Giving forth some bright, you know, the ray of light, you know. If you see this, completely this influencing your life, turn over new life. That is called the religious transformation. Well, you can experience, I don't know, you can experience in your whole life or not. But anyway, there are many people anyway experience like that. So if you read this kind of a story, we don't understand why Geisha Zen Master did like that, you know. Because he was not humanistic. Very cold. But it's really, that is a really, I would say, real experience which the pure sense of human activity or the pure sense of human nature as a function is penetrating your body and mind and nature. It takes something in the position of a form, so-called religious motivation, or sometimes one bright pearl, sometimes the mental psychological experience, sometimes a perfect beautiful form in diving. Very beautiful form, exactly. Or a form in ballet dance, it's exactly come up. But that for the experience of pure sense of human action doesn't last for long. For a certain period of time, you can see or you can have, you can keep it, but it's disappeared. For instance, form in diving and a form in dancing at the stage, and total manifestation of a pure sense of human activity, so-called dance, form in dancing, form in diving, appears exactly, but it doesn't last for long. It disappears. But even though it disappears, as long as you experience, as long as you do it, you did it at that time, it's lost. It's lost in your life. That is what is called majesty. Okay? Majesty. We can't say, we don't know what is a majesty. What is a religious, what is a very pure sense of a powerful, you know, function, energy of human activity, you know, we don't know what it is. But you can experience that one. But it's disappeared. That something which you have experienced disappeared. But it's still with you. How is it lasting? That is majestic. Dogen Denji used majestic activities. That majesty means spiritual security, so called security. In a sense, very spiritual security, and in the usual sense, maybe through the act of dancing or sports at that time, that is a sense of confidence, sense of confidence or sense of majesty, it's dignity, let's say, or sense of imperturbability, very stable there. That is what's called, we don't know, we cannot grasp it, because it is very pure, it is perfectly purified at the highest pitch. That's why we don't know what it is, but you can do it, you can experience it. So you cannot grasp it, you cannot throw it away, you cannot ignore it. That is called Buddha. That is a goal, Buddha. Okay? That activity is exactly Buddha. Okay? Buddha. But that goal, Buddha, is not something different from human life. It's simultaneously takes something in the position of a form. Anyway, in many ways, physically, psychologically, spiritually, and scientifically, even in physics, according to physics, according to sports, anyway, it takes simultaneously something in the possession of a form. That is called beauty of art. Beauty, maybe so. You can say so. Beauty. Perfect beauty. But we don't know what is a beauty. But because it doesn't last for long. It's appear and disappear. But it's not really disappear. It's there. How? That is a majesty. Majesty or dignity and confidence. Or religiously speaking, we say faith. Or religiously, in other words, according to my term, that is spiritual security. And simultaneously means that function is no one understands anyway how fast it works, how fast does that the pure sense of human activity take something in the position of a form, we don't know. But according to our Sanskrit sutras, it explains it's really amazing for me, but that is maybe a coincidence, simultaneous coincidence. But that coincidence is divided into the sort of five, maybe more, but I don't know. That's interesting. The one is simultaneous mutual self-identity, that's one. Simultaneous mutual turning into, and the self-identity of the one and the many. Self-identity of acting and being acted upon. Self-identity and the mutual, what to say, abrupt. Rising. That's fantastic, isn't it? But we don't know what it is. But it is already teaching. It's already teaching. But that is not the teaching that you can experience directly. So that's why even the science, more physics, we don't understand this. We don't. Well, we can know. In modern physics, maybe we can know how fast it's communicated. Kidding, form and absolute anyway. But in Abhasanga Sutra, they didn't have any way more physics at those days. But through the religious experience, so-called Zen anyway, they know this. So simultaneous mutual self-identity means if you say one, it's already 10. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 exact simultaneous. Mutual self-identity means if you say one, immediately rest of the numbers exact there. And simultaneous mutual turning into means if you say one, and then you say according to first time of mutual simultaneous mutual, you know, the self identity, you say 10 or less of numbers there. And then you see you say, oh yes, that is a real one, but I don't think so. Real one doesn't stay long, you know. So next moment the real one, number one becomes two. Okay. Number one becomes 10. Number one becomes 100 simultaneously. And then you say, I got it. And simultaneously 100 becomes one. So turning into. So that is a rebalancing constantly like that. That's quicker. Very quick. So that is a simultaneous mutual turning into. Turning. How do they do? So next is self-identity of acting and being acted upon. But anyway, they are acting like that. And also self-identity of the one and the many means. That is not only A and B's relationship. It's really one and also many. That is a perfect unification. If you are in witness natures, it is not the relationship between nature and you. It's exactly world. The you and many. Simultaneously. So you can open yourself. Immediately. And then you can see this. Spiritually, mentally, or in many ways you can see it, but it's disappeared. But it stay with you. How? That is dignity. Confidence and majesty. Spiritual security. Strength. Something like this. And also self-identity of abrupt rising means simultaneously. I don't know how do I say that abrupt means not at the second, something more than at the shortest period of time anyway, abrupt. So no gap between, so that is abrupt. So simultaneously it's abrupt. That's why we don't understand how it's communicated. But if you really, you open yourself perfectly, unifying as one with all sentient beings, simultaneously you can experience in many ways. But in our daily life, our life is very busy. So it's very difficult to experience something like this. But if you are really alone in the nature, in the witness, and completely alone, and you no fears, no joyfulness, no nothing, exactly just be there, at that time you can really open yourself. But it is not something you try to create, you know. If you try to create, Kagi said in that way, let's go to the nature. I want to have an experience. You can't do it. Well, it's coming up naturally. Okay? So at that time, you can experience. But if you have a chance to do this, you are lucky, but there are many individuals who cannot have such opportunities. So how do we do? So So that's what we have for kind of like this, you know, making arrangement of circumstances, just like a nature, you know, simple life, and the quietness, peaceful life, and death. And open yourself, exactly, open yourself. That open yourself is, your even your intellect, your emotions, your, anyway, intentions, all things, anyway, return to zero. At that time, you can open. That is really jumping from the high, jumping from high board, okay, in public, not rehearsal, Anyway, in public, you can jump into the ocean, okay, from high board. At that time, that is completely no excuse. And also, this is not you only. It is not activity open just to you, but to public. And then, this is a basic practice for us, okay? And rehearsal is a practice, okay? You say practice. That practice is maybe correspond. You believe practice is corresponding to a kind of a rehearsal in order to get the formal, formal show, so-called diving into the ocean, in public. Oh, of course, but practice is okay if you understand like this, but it's, without practice, you cannot have anyway formal show in public. Without formal show in public, you cannot have a rehearsal anyway, so, but the communicating very quickly. So you have to deal with the rehearsal, what is exactly, not technique, exactly formal show in public. If you understand rehearsal like this, you really devote yourself to each form in dancing, in diving. Exactly. That's why in Japanese we say to learn, to act, to dive, to rehearse. Is to learn, to practice is to learn. In Japanese, to learn character, Chinese character corresponds two parts. One is a feather, bird feather. And the other one is a what. That is a to learn. That's interesting. Bird, the feather means a bird, chick, okay? Baby bird. I try to learn the fly. So in order to fly, a chick constantly move his wings constantly, again and again, repeatedly. How? What? What means? Its connotation is, purified. Very purified actions. No contamination, just full devotion there. Okay? That's a what. So, how to learn to fly? Anyway, move, repeatedly, move the bird's chest with wings and repeatedly concentrate. How? With wholeheartedness. Okay? That is a shikan. That time, you can really learn, what? Samadhi. We say samadhi. It's really samadhi. Each practice you can do as a rehearsal is not the rehearsal separate from anyway, public show. Anyway, it is exactly the same as a public show. Because your practice must be right in the middle of samadhi. And this samadhi exactly same as pure sense of human activities, so-called gyo-butsu. So, simultaneously, pure sense of really second practice is gyo-butsu. Okay? Gyo-butsu immediately leads you to practice continually. So, gyo-butsu is very important because this is a public show. Anyway, public show. That is a formal show in public. But practice is a sort of personal. Okay, personal. But personal practice is important, but as a background, there must be, anyway, universal practice. That is show, formal show in public. Formal show in public is very basic. Okay? Without this, you cannot accomplish anything at all. As an artist, okay? Why do you practice? Why do you practice? You practice just like this. Without any show in public, even the diving and even the swimming and even the sports, and the, always there is a public show. Public show means speech is speaking. It is a universal show. You have to do something anyway. Universal show constantly back up your personal life. Personal life. That is very basic. You can't ignore. You cannot ignore. If you miss this point, well, your practice doesn't make sense. So your practice, so-called, your practice must be anyway universal, showing in universe, cosmic. At that time, because in the that showing in the public is very important because that is a the very crucial experience which no discrimination, no gap between you and time and space or you and the universe. Anyway, just like a diving, you know. Just like a diving. But you can still on the process, on the way to down, touch the ocean, still you can catch something and frequently, sometimes, and feeling and maybe right or wrong and intellectually and also intentionally you can see this. But strictly speaking, moment after moment means you can't catch the moment exactly. Real moment is something you act there. You act there. You be one with it. Exactly. The Abdharma, the moment is, I told you before, 74,000, but in, according to modern physics, well, the real moment is something more than 74,000. Maybe we have to add about 10 more zero to 10.